Welcome to the Inbox Podcast with Vincent Sugira. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Inbox Podcast with Vincent Sugira. Today, I invited a young, accomplished, again, woman who is going to introduce herself now, and we get into the Inbox. Welcome to the Inbox, Anaïs.
Thank you.
So Anaïs works at ALU in the Integrity Committee, Integrity Board, which will explain to us what they really do. She's also the Executive Director at Homemaker. Operations Director at Homemaker. So Anaïs, welcome back, and please tell us, I think first thing I need to know is what really you guys do at the Integrity Committee and what you guys do at Homemaker.
So thank you. As you said, my name is Anaïs. So basically, the Integrity Board is just a student board that makes sure that there's conflict resolution in the best possible ways.
Yeah.
It's not like we are a work. It's just a type of volunteer thing. And yes, and I work with Homemaker as well as the operations manager, director, name it. Homemaker is a mental health nonprofit organization that advocates for the well-being of young Rwandans through support groups, awareness campaigns. We want to raise awareness about like mental well-being, that your mind is, when your mind is functioning, when you know, when you're self-aware, when you're not good, when you're good, that it helps you even navigate even your everyday life.
So now, and you're also a professional teacher. I don't know why you didn't add that.
Yeah,
a professional teacher that basically works with kids under the age of 11, 15?
Yeah, kind of. I am a private tutor.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you so much for accepting to be on our podcast. I know the first time we were both really rushing and we didn't really get to talk as deep as we wanted to. But first of all, I think the first thing I need to know is, how did you find yourself in mental health, and you know, what encouraged you? How did it start to begin with?
So should I say what we said last time?
I mean, you can, yeah.
So how it happened, when I finished high school, I went to, I became a teaching assistant at this school, and there was this particular student, as I told you, who was, you know, frustrating the whole class. He was so stubborn. He would like seek attention in each and every possible way, and his main way was to disturb. And
how old was the kid?
He was around 6, 7. Yeah, and so annoyingly, actually, he would like get on my nerves, but I didn't really understand that he was dealing with something.
Yeah,
and it really was really hard for me to like operate with the kid until I realized what was going on in his life. He was not living with his both parents. One was abroad, another one was not very present because they were working, you know. So this kid spent a lot of time alone, home, watching TV. So when he came to school, he would, you know, find friends and he would just want to maximize time with them. And through that, not know that he came to school to also study, and he would just want to play, play until he gets home. And when you would, you know, engage him and say, you should do this and this, he would just, you know, burst out and lash and react in so many different ways. And so when I got to understand that that was the main cause, I learned to like be patient with him, understanding, and know how to like take him, which is different from others who are not like having the similar issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to ALU.
Mm-hmm.
And at ALU, the first year, they'd be like, what do you want to study? What do you like? What are you passionate about?
Yeah. What mission?
Exactly.
What mission do you want to focus on?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, what do you want to solve in your society?
Mm.
So many different things.
Mm.
And already I knew that I was interested in education,
mm-hmm.
but there had... I was like, I want to improve the education system in Rwanda.
Oh, but that's so ambitious.
Yes. So when I reached in class, everyone was talking about their plans. Actually, like, many people ended up having the same mission like me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone was talking about education, and I was like, okay, I need to, like, find something special.
Mm-hmm.
I need to talk about something that, okay, I need to find a way to really know, like, what I would want to work on.
Mm.
And I landed on mental health, remembering my previous experience with the kid, and even myself, I had gone through seasons of, you know, dealing with mental health issues, you know, different things which were going on in my life. And I got the awareness, and I wanted other people to be aware that actually some people have, we all go through different experiences,
mm-hmm.
and there's a way you need to, like, take each person as they come to you.
Yeah,
and and also prioritize your own mental well-being, because I had seen, I was a very alcoholic controller, like, I was a perfectionist, and it really not helped at all. It did not help. And so that's how I landed with mental health.
When you say you were alcoholic controller,
workaholic, not alcoholic.
I was like, that's not so you. But I mean, there are a lot of things we don't know about each other. But so now you come at ALU, you have prior experience with mental health, with kids and stuff, and you have your own personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And first of all, if we start with the kid, how do you approach a kid who is 7 years or 10 and tell them, hey, I think you might be going through this, or maybe approach his parents or whoever is responsible for the kid and tell them, please be careful, the kid might be going through something. Because let me tell you, even us at the age as we are, some of our parents or guardians don't understand that you can be going through something mentally. So how were you able to deal with that kid's case?
So with the kid, you cannot go around the kid telling him you have mental health health issues. You are seeking attention. You cannot say that to a young kid.
Obviously, the kid doesn't know what attention is.
Exactly. You cannot say that to a kid. What you do, you help them. You don't have to point out, you're doing this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to recognize that they have a need and try as much as possible to provide it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of patience. A lot of patience and love, because when you love them, you try to put yourself in their place, and from that end, it actually becomes much easier because you understand that this kid is dealing with something. It's not that they hate me, but it's that they're going through something. Yeah. So that's what, even with older people, like, sometimes you find someone who is angry, like, who has a difficult personality, and you're like, this guy, you know, this guy is just tough, this guy is mean, this guy or girl has like a bad attitude, you cannot relate to them, and you feel like they're attacking you. But
I
sometimes
see.
It's not even you, it's something with them, something they're dealing on their end. And so when you get to understand that, you take things off of yourself and try to help the other person as much as you can. Not burning yourself out, like, I'm going to help you, because you're not in control of everything, especially on the parents' side. The parents were not really doing anything wrong. It's just that they had obligations. And unfortunately, some people don't like have that kind of balance, you know. Maybe they were in a time of their life where they maybe were struggling and they needed to like do exactly what they were doing. So what you have to do, because you are, for example, the teacher who spends most time with the kid, you have to tell the parents the situation and ask them if they could try, but you don't have to expect so much from them, because I believe they love their kids and they want the best for them. But if someone maybe, let's take an example of our parents or people who are older than us, they just don't understand. They dealt with things and they feel like, my things are heavier than yours. I don't know why you're crying. But they don't know that actually it has the same weight. Not exactly the same weight, but at some point emotionally, it has the same weight. So you try to not expect them to understand you fully. But if you are the other person who's not understanding someone who's struggling, you give them space and you listen to them and you hear them, not just but you truly hear them and actively listen to them, not give them advice, just keep silent and listen to them. Because it's really powerful when you find someone who can really listen to you. So that's what I did. I would try to listen to the kid, ask him, what do you want to do right now? If he say, I want to play, I'm like, okay, so can you do this work? And then I'll give you, I will add 5 minutes on the minutes you're supposed to play. And you try to, you know, make it possible for the kid and for yourself. And, you know, you try to find a way and it always works.
But obviously, for someone like you in your profession, I understand you do a lot of things, at least that are related to mental health. Have you been in a position where you were going through something, but you had to show up at work? Or maybe you had to show up for someone who was also going through something, but you really had to show up because it was your responsibility. Have you been in that situation?
Yeah, so many times.
Okay.
And before, I would show up, pretend, but it's really hard when you're dealing with something. And maybe I was actually discussing this on Wednesday with some friends when we were like, if someone maybe is going through something and they start telling you so many things. And then you in your position, you're also feeling bad, uncomfortable, or emotions are arousing in you. You're starting now to be unstable, if I can say so. And I would just keep pushing and listen to everyone I'm supposed to listen to, do everything I'm supposed to do, and I reached a point of burnout. I was burned out with everything going on, you know, trying to keep up with everything. But yeah, I definitely went through that space where, you know,
give me one instance where like it was so hard for you, but you were like, I don't know how I got myself here, but I know I have to do this to help out.
So what happened actually last year around August, I had so many things to do, and I kept doing them. And something with me, if I have a lot of work, I'm going to sleep, okay? And then I wake up rushing. I don't take my breakfast. I go, I do what I'm supposed to do.
Did you wake up rushing today?
No, today I tried. I tried today.
Okay.
Yes. And I really skipped my meals a lot. I skipped my meals until the point I was sick and I got this bacteria called H. pylori. And it was not something beautiful. I struggled for a month or two. I had to stay in bed because the medicine was too strong. I had to eat and eat and eat. So it took me a lot of time to recover until this year. I can say I truly recovered in March from that August. And all of that because of not taking care of my mental health, of neglecting my well-being. So you see, it's not, you know, some people might think that mental health can only affect your mind. You could be depressed, anxious, but it also goes with your body. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes your mind is exhausted, mm-hmm. and when you're not even feeding your body, then you become like your whole being becomes weak.
That's true.
So that's what happened until I learned to love myself. I say I didn't really love myself, because if I did, I would not skip my meals. I would not prioritize other things rather than taking care of my sleep, my meals. So I ended up, I landed on this course, counseling course, mm-hmm. and I went for it, and it has, from that point, changed my life. Like, I learned to be self-aware and know that I have to prioritize my mental well-being. I have to not skip my meals. Mm-hmm. I have to try my best, even though I would want to be there for everyone. Mm-hmm. I learned that I cannot at some point.
Yeah.
You cannot at some point want to work and support your friends and do all these things and take care of yourself at the same time.
And I think that I understand, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then for the youths, if you're in this journey of becoming a professional, pursuing a career, if you are able, at least trying to find out what you can do, yeah, you lose friends and people along the way. Or maybe I don't want to call it losing friends, but there are people that really don't understand you, yeah?
Mm.
So how do you deal with those people? Or as you're navigating through career choices, making decisions that affect your life, making decisions regarding your well-being, either mentally or physically, how do you make sure that you maintain your social interactions and don't lose people along the way?
Well, that's how can I say it? Let me repeat this. I can even give an example. Let me repeat this. You are not able to control everything.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot control what people think.
Mm-hmm.
Funny example, last year, like, I have a good friend of mine. She went abroad. And I would always want to talk with her, ask her how she's doing, like, be consistent with our friendship. But then I would feel like, why? She would always tell me, I'm busy. I'm like, how can someone be this busy to not even respond to a text in 3 weeks? Eh? But then until it happened to me, before even it happened to me, I got to know that you don't have to take things like, okay, it actually happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I got at some point as well where I was not, you know, I couldn't find time to text a person, even right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have so many texts and I haven't responded to them.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I don't want to do it.
I try to be arrogant.
Yeah. or because I, you know, any other reason. It's because, you know, I don't have time.
Yeah.
And I learned that friendship is not like, when someone is truly your friend, they understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to a point I was able to understand her and know that us being friends doesn't mean we have to keep up every time. Yeah.
Gossips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Talking every week.
Yeah.
You can be my friend and we spend 1 year, we haven't talked. But when we meet again, the vibe is still vibing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I understood that, and you know, you give people grace. You don't have to take everything on yourself. Be like, me, this person has not been there for me. You also have to be like, maybe this person is going through a lot. I just need to text them and be like, no, I'll always be here when you have time to talk. Let's talk. Text them once in a while, see if they're still alive, going well. But as you just said, like, we are young professionals, we're trying to build a life, everything. You need a social life, because we are relationship beings. We are beings who need friends. So you have to try to balance. Yeah, but not neglect your friends completely, but not neglect your work as well, or your family, because we tend to neglect the people who are actually going to stay there for us our whole lives. So I'd say that you have to give people grace and understand them and be patient.
But in such kinds of moments, aren't there times where you don't show up for your friends or for people you care about?
Like, yes, there's times, and there's many times.
Mm.
But I have learned to not take, not feel guilty about things I am not able to control.
Mm.
If, for example, I have like a family thing and a friend has a thing and there's work, then I have to choose one of them.
Yeah.
I have to prioritize because I cannot go in all of them.
Yeah.
Mm. And when you get to a point you're like, I'm actually not in control of all of this. Mm. I know deep down in my heart that it's not that I don't want to be there. It's because I want to also take care of myself. Because when I'm okay, I will be able to support you. I'll be able to be there for you. So I'll take the time I need. Get in tune with myself. That's what we say in mental health. In psychology, you have to be in tune with your emotions first. Because if I want to be there for everyone, and when I'm there, I'm just down. And I go home and I'm so tired. The next day, I cannot perform. Then what's the
point? How do you explain that to a friend that really needs you? Because, okay, I'm asking you this because that's the generation we are in. So recently, I was writing a poem and then I was trying to find a meme that can go along with it. And then I saw a meme that was like when you see your friend post that I'm not alone, I'm alone, I'm on my own. And you'd be like, okay, you are on your own, but I'm your friend. What the heck are you saying? Yeah. So now, to me, it sounds like, you know, I understand that sometimes, obviously, you need your own space. Yeah. And sometimes you need people in your life that really understand you, that understand what you're going through or your profession. And understand that the fact that you're not talking right now doesn't mean that you really don't want to talk. It means that you're a little bit busy and trying to find the bread for tomorrow, yeah? But how do you, you yourself personally, how do you explain that to a friend that really wants you to be there?
So first of all, if you are truly my friend, you're not going to post that.
Okay.
And I will feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
Because if you're my friend, I will check on you.
Mm-hmm.
I will constantly check on you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you think people are your friends and they're not. They're just, you know, people you have in your life.
Oh, yeah. Fact.
And if that person is some people, not to say that person is self-pitying, but they are in a stage in their lives where they want to... they want that attention, Sibyo. And if I am there and I'm seeing you posting that, and I know that I told you that whenever you need me, you find me, and you didn't come to me, then I won't feel guilty. I cannot because I offered you my support. But maybe you might want someone else to see that post, for example. You know, people do that. And people want, you know, that particular person to respond, you know. I don't know if you know this, but me, I've seen that.
Okay.
And I've been in a position back then in the days when I was like, I want someone to reply to this message, so I'm going to post it. See you.
Exactly. Crazy,
yes, some people do that. So...
like you're posting something for a particular person to see that.
Mommy,
you're directing it to them, bro.
You don't know. You don't know. But yeah, that's maybe...
that only happens when... okay, this is crazy, but I have to say it. You see, this time maybe you're going through a breakup or hard time with a close friend, yeah? And then the communication is not there. And you'd be like, if I post this thing, this person is going to feel guilty. Yeah?
Exactly.
But they're going to know that.
Exactly.
I'm directing this to them.
You see.
That happened to you.
I mean, it came to my thought.
Yeah.
It came to my thought, like it comes to so many people's thoughts. Because we are, as I told you, we are relationship beings. We want people to care for us. You want someone to ask you how you're doing. You want someone to, you know, take care of you. But the first thing I can tell everyone, unless you enjoy your own company, unless you learn to try to, how can I say it, to truly know how to ask for help, then you will find yourself self-pitying. Mm-hmm. And some people like me who have, some people are in a space right now where they have not understood that. Mm. But for me, right now, if I was to see you posting that, mm. I can never judge you. I'm like, I think you need to be in a place right now where you need someone, and I really understand that. Mm. And I pray that that person will come in your life. So I cannot like feel guilty, but I know that at a certain point in your life, that person will come. But if you rely on others to make you feel good, mm-hmm. you will really struggle, because I struggled with that a lot. Mm-hmm. I struggled with validation, with having like, if I have a problem right away, I need to talk to a friend. I need to tell them everything that's going on. I have to, you know, voice it. I want someone to be right now here, mm-hmm. to like feel someone else's embrace. But now, when something happens, I first have to, like, on a personal note, deal with it, mm-hmm. and not self-pity. Mm-hmm. And if I know someone who can help me, mm-hmm. I will reach out to them.
Yeah, I see. I think I understand that. And at some point, me, I feel like, okay, there are two ways, actually, think about a person that does that and mm-hmm. takes almost everything on social media and mm-hmm. everything. Yeah. First of all, sometimes I feel like some people just feel, how do I say this? Their healing is through sharing mm. things with strangers, yeah? Mm. If I have this feeling, I put it on social media. Mm. Maybe someone comments about it mm. and we talk about it and mm. it's over. Mm. Yeah, that's one. Mm. But at some point, sometimes I also feel like it's not really, mm. personally, this is my personal opinion. Mm. Sometimes I also think it's not necessary mm. because you're simply letting everyone know what you're going through. Mm. You're simply giving everyone the pleasure to make assumptions about your life. Mm. Yeah. And I don't think that's something anyone can want, yeah? Mm. Yeah. But yeah, if it helps you, then go ahead and do it, man. If anything, artists use their art to heal themselves, yeah? Mm. It's crazy. Recently, I was thinking, I feel like artists are obliged. I don't know if they have this kind of responsibility, yeah? Mm. Where you want to sing, or where you want to create something that comes from deep down that resonates with the emotions. But you have to find a way that you make it not so much personal to yourself, mm. for other people to relate. And that's hard, yeah? Mm. That's really hard. True. Now, moving forward, I think, like you said, you're relationship beings. There are two things we are going to talk about here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about the relationships. I mean, I feel like we've kind of touched on the relationship, friends relationship, yeah? So now, how does a romantic relationship now help in helping someone maintain their mental well-being, their social interactions, their professional careers, you know, how does it help? And if you have been there, though, like, what's your experience with that? Mm-hmm.
So, my experience with that is almost to zero. Mm, but I know people who have went through that.
Why is it like, almost to zero?
Because I haven't had like a serious relationship.
What do you mean, this far? Relationship?
I haven't had a relationship this far. You know. And but I have, you know, sometimes you don't really have to be in a relationship.
You know, your ex-boyfriend is going to listen to this, maybe. And you're saying you never had a serious relationship.
What I'm saying, okay. Nina, that's on my end.
Okay.
Maybe for them it was serious.
Oh my God.
But me, I know, I excuse myself,
that's
for example.
Brutal, bro.
Yeah, let me tell you, this is the thing. You have to be honest. Why would I lie?
Okay.
But that person also knows that they know what I feel and they know what I think about them, right?
So okay, that's
I
good.
Don't care what other people think.
Okay,
so
that's good if they know.
Yeah, they know. They know if it was serious for them, then it was not serious for me. And maybe I apologize and say that I'm so sorry. Mm. Anyways.
Okay, if you had not apologized, this is your time.
No, I really
free of
did.
Charge. I'm giving
you I
space.
Did.
Free of
yeah,
charge.
We were like people. Okay. We, you always, if you feel like your heart is judging you, go ahead and apologize to people you have hurt.
Mm.
So, you're back to your question. Mm. How can a romantic relationship
help
you?
Yeah.
Before a romantic relationship, I say this and I'm going to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Your relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you rely on someone else to help you navigate things in your life, you're going to be crushed.
Okay.
But you need them as well.
Mm. It's inevitable.
Yes, you need them. You need people.
Mm.
But you have to have already knowing yourself, knowing how you react to things.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you're already in a relationship, giving grace to that other person and making sure that you're not expecting them to give you all the happiness you need in this world. You know, because that person as well is struggling with something. Maybe they're also seeking love from you and a hand, embrace, everything. So I think that the best thing to do, the first thing to do, even if you're already in a relationship, seek to learn about yourself. Seek to know yourself every day. Seek to, have true, be truthful in everything you do.
Mm.
And be, and give grace to other people.
Yeah.
So because I've not been, as I said, in a serious relationship, but I have friends. I have friends who have went through different things. You watch things, you know. You hear stories. And most times I feel like it helps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always nice when you have someone to like share your pain with.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you will find yourself alone.
Oh my God.
In a sense, for example, if you guys are not married, at some point you will find yourself in your own bed.
Mm.
Or if you are married, at some point your partner might have to travel.
Mm.
Your partner might be doing other things.
Mm.
And you might be like, I need you right now. And the person will be like, right now I'm not available, but can we talk in 1 hour? But maybe you were needing them in that specific moment. So what can you do? That's what I said. You have to already be in tune with yourself and your emotions and know that though this person is not right here, I know they love me, but I have some work to do with myself. So the relationship with someone else, it has to be, you have to be in tune with yourself to be able to even maintain a romantic relationship with someone else. I don't know if I answered your question.
No. I think it's so important to know yourself. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because sometimes romantic relationships can be very, very consuming. Yeah.
Tell us more.
What do you mean?
You seem to have experience.
I mean, yeah, I do. Ariko, I think, yeah, as much as it can be consuming, it's also good when you're self-aware, when you understand yourself at a very high level.
Exactly.
And but I also think it's so helpful when you can control it, though. When you can control it, when you have an understanding partner, when you know, when you have someone that really gets you right,
yeah.
But now, so let's not spend a lot of time on relationships. Yeah,
yeah, but before you go away, you said something, and I just mentioned, I forgot to mention, you have to set boundaries.
Okay.
Setting boundaries is not, when people say setting boundaries in relationships, some people, what they hear right away is maybe sexually.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just that.
Okay.
Even emotionally, some people can drain you.
Yeah,
emotionally,
that's why I said it can be consuming.
Exactly. They can drain you emotionally, financially, your time.
Mm.
So you have to learn to be like, so if you want me to be there and maybe I'm doing something else, mm-hmm. I'm doing something else. Can we talk in 1 hour? Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling well. Can we talk in, you know, the next day? And mm-hmm. someone might be like, no, you don't love me. You know, mm-hmm. you're not giving me all your time. Mm-hmm. I'm not operating in your life. Mm-hmm. Be like, you know what you're feeling and you know that this person is a priority. Mm-hmm. So what they say cannot affect you when you truly understand that.
Yeah.
I actually know that you are a priority. Even though you're saying that, I know what I feel.
Yeah.
And it can help you mm-hmm. better, like, manage your relationships, manage the way you're living your life, mm-hmm. and always being in tune with yourself. Because you don't know if this person is the person you're going to spend your whole life with.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go extra miles when you are killing yourself.
Go extra miles?
Yeah.
That's too big.
Yes.
I need more explanations.
Go extra miles, like, compromise your personality. Compromise your everything for
Isn't
this person.
Isn't that the entire point of a relationship, though?
No.
I feel like at some point relationships help you know yourself better.
Yes.
Because at least you know you there's some point in your life you're ready to compromise.
Uh-huh.
And
exactly.
That's good.
Yeah, you know where you can, yes, you have to compromise. You know where you can compromise and you know where you cannot compromise.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right. Now, I think there is that relationship, romantic or friend relationship, and there is the spiritual and religious relationship with God. Yeah. I hear people saying God has sent Uriti and everything. Yeah. But now tell me how religion also goes with maintaining one's mental well-being. How does it help generally?
I think personally, as a Christian, as someone who considers God as their best friend, God has been, He's been that friend, you know, that one whom, if I say, like, can I talk to you? He will not say, talk to me in 1 hour. That's when I'm available.
Obviously, he can't because...
Yes. So he will always listen to me. So every time I need to talk to him, I'll go before him and I'll pray. Praying is communicating with your God, whatever your beliefs are. But for me, God has been that person who keeps me going. When every time I need to, you know, talk, I always run to him. And he has, like, in God, in the Bible, you find a lot of hope, a lot of, you know, it stays in you, like, strength. Like, there's, you can relate to the Bible a lot in so many different areas you're going through your life. And that particular thing brings hope in your life, and God brings peace to you. Like, there's this peace I cannot explain that no one else has ever given to me. That only the Spirit of God gives me. Yeah, when the Holy Spirit is there, like, that peace. I hope everyone can experience it in their life, because it's, as it says in Philippians 4, verse 6.
I like it when 7. You're giving verses.
Yeah, because that's my favorite verse. It says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it talks about that peace. And I have felt it. And that's, you know, I know that whether I am with a family, whether I'm with a friend, whether I'm in a romantic relationship, no one ever will give me the peace and joy God gives me. And that space helps me also know that I can rely on God. Then the second thing, I love myself to better love others.
Has it ever crossed your mind that these religious beliefs and everything about it is more psychological than it is a reality?
Some people think that, but I don't think that. For me, God is a reality. I cannot doubt about his existence at all. Like, look at all of this, you know.
What do you mean all of this?
You, me, this room, the earth. Like, can you tell me there's no God behind this. There is God behind this. And it's not about the psychology part. Mm-hmm. Even though some people want to make it all about science, mm-hmm. it's not. Like, how? How? Huh? Tell me how. How are all these animals, this small insect living? Mm-hmm. So there's God behind it's all nature. Of this. It's nature. Mm-hmm. That nature, who created it? It is God. So I can never say that God is psychological. God is a reality. Mm-hmm. He's a beautiful reality. Yeah. And whoever says it's psychological, I don't judge you. Mm-hmm. I believe the Holy Spirit has to come in your life and make you understand, because no one else, mm-hmm. me saying all of this cannot make someone who doesn't believe in God mm-hmm. until they experience it for themselves. Mm-hmm. So, and it says that Jesus will come back mm-hmm. when everyone has got the chance to hear of mm-hmm. his existence. So that's what we're waiting for, to go to heaven. And
okay, so you believe heaven exists?
Yes, and I believe I'm going there.
Why do you believe so?
Mm. I believe so because mm-hmm. I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Is that enough to go to heaven?
So are we going there? Because if we're going there, we can go there.
No, I mean, I'm only asking because...
So you're asking, yes. Mm-hmm. In a sense, because if you believe Jesus died for you on the cross and he is God who came on earth to save us from our sinful nature.
How can he be God?
Mm-hmm. Because he's God. He's God.
Explain
in human flesh. So God, this is what happened. You know the whole story.
But the guy used to pray to God.
Yes.
And you can't play.
When he came on earth.
You can't pray to yourself.
When he came on earth, mm-hmm. he took on the human form. And he had to humble himself like everyone else and become a human. Mm-hmm. Truly become mm-hmm. human, to know like how we feel, how everything happens to us, mm-hmm. how we deal with the flesh, how we kill the flesh.
So you mean when he was praying, he was fooling God?
He was not fooling us. Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying as the people that were there in those times. Story happened anyway.
So, he was praying to God the Father when he was God the Son on earth. Sibyo. When he came to earth, he became human. Mm-hmm. Do you get it? When he became human, it doesn't mean that he was not still God. He was God in human flesh. Mm-hmm. But he truly, and he, because he's God, he has the power. You know, God is three in one. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. That's what I believe. I don't know what you believe in.
Wait, there is God the Father?
God the Son and God the Holy
the
Spirit.
And who should we call up to?
That's one person in three. So he is God.
So the simply Father, I call up to God, I'm calling Jesus.
You call out to God, but believing that he is all those three things.
What if I don't believe he's
then I just pray the God. Holy Spirit guides you and you believe in him. Because I cannot make you believe it. Okay. I can only plant the seed, but the Lord will water it.
All right, okay, yeah. I'm listening. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you know, he came on earth after, you know, he had taken, like, Adam, you know, they ate the fruit. Then sin came in the world. Then, you know, Moses took the Israelites from there. Mm-hmm. And all the 40 days the Israelites spent in the...
Think we will go to New Jerusalem?
Everything. So...
You think we will go to New Jerusalem?
I think we'll go to heaven.
Oh, good.
Yes.
At least that we agree on.
Yes. New Jerusalem part, I don't... But they say heaven is like the New Jerusalem.
No, it's
not. That part... I know it's somewhere in Revelations. Mm-hmm. I don't have much experience, so I cannot tell you. Mm-hmm. But I know there's a heaven, and that heaven I'm going. Ooh. So
I like the confidence.
It's the confidence. It's the blessed assurance in Christ.
Yes. So. Mm-hmm. So you mean... No, me, my main question is... Mm-hmm. If someone doesn't really call out on Jesus, yeah, but rather calls out... to God, and consciously follows everything that living with others in harmony, love a person as you love yourself, you know, do not do others wrong and everything.
Mm.
I live like that. I live my life like that.
Mm.
And I know there is the Most High,
mm-hmm.
and that is God.
Mm.
Isn't that enough to take me to heaven?
So do you think you can be able to live exactly the way you just said?
I'm not saying I can be perfect, but I'm saying I can live like that. I can try.
You can
I'm
try.
I'm just saying, yeah.
You can try, yeah. right? You can never live like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can't be perfect.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why mm-hmm. Jesus came.
That's why I prayed God to God came. And tell him, God, I did this wrong. One, two, three. Please forgive me.
Yes, he forgives you.
Mm-hmm.
But then what is your question?
The question is, mm-hmm. isn't that enough to take me to heaven?
Exactly what?
Like, I live my life.
Mm-hmm.
I know God said.
Mm.
Love. I don't even know how to know that he said it.
Mm.
I know what I can't do to myself.
Mm.
I can't do to anyone.
Mm.
Yeah, if it's in a bad way.
Mm.
And I know every time I do wrong, I go to God and be like, God, this is 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm.
These are my plans. Please help me see them through. Yeah. And then I have that relationship with God, the Father, without going through, I don't know, like I go directly, yeah?
Mm.
Is that enough to take me to heaven? Or do I necessarily have to admit Jesus?
Mm. Okay, let's take an example. See, I am me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anais is an operations director at Homeka,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also a private tutor,
mm-hmm.
and I'm also a member of the integrity board.
Mm-hmm.
Am I not one person who does three things?
You are.
And then, take this example. If God says he created the world,
mm-hmm.
and then he says again, he came on earth in human form, and he says again.
Did he say that?
Yes.
And did he says, not say, I sent my son, blah, blah, blah?
Yes. He also, first hear me out.
Okay.
And he says again, he came on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Urumva.
Mm-hmm.
Through his son,
mm-hmm.
when his son comes, he says, if he is, I am. And God says, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then he is also the spirit. Isn't that God? Isn't he still God in three people doing three things?
Is God, yeah?
He is, right?
No, wait, listen.
Yes, I listen to you. Let me finish
okay,
first.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you were saying, if I don't go the Jesus way and I
no,
believe
it's
in
like
God.
No, not going the Jesus way.
Hear me out.
Uh-huh.
If I believe in God the Father and I do all these things, I live in harmony,
mm-hmm.
but I don't, you know, I don't really, I'm not that deep in Jesus
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Will I go to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what is written in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not believe me, then you don't believe him who sent me, because
mm-hmm.
him who sent him is he.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing.
Mm.
I cannot make you understand this thing. I repeat it.
No, I don't think.
And
the
before
point is,
before you go ahead, please read John. Please read Luke. Please read Matthew. And because if you're seeking truth from me, you will never get, because there's some hidden things I cannot explain to you, that the Spirit only explains to me, that I cannot be able to explain to you. That if you read and ask the Spirit of God to come to you, he will explain. That's the thing about people. That's the thing about people who want to understand everything. And I cannot. And you're seeking answers from us, you know, pointing us to giving you the answer, and we cannot.
No, I think me, I'm bringing that in a point where of having some intellectual conversations, yeah?
That intellectuality.
And I'm telling you this, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Because I think it's not that I don't believe in Jesus, yeah? Because I believe that people really God sent, yeah, to tell us the good news or to give us his message. Yeah. Mm. That includes Jesus, that includes Moses, and that includes Muhammad, that includes, you know.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So now, let me read something for you.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, where's this screenshot? Yeah, so simply what I'm saying is, isn't it unfair the fact that if I want a service in a company, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and I have the ability to go directly to the founder, do I not deserve to get the service without going through the manager, the CEO, blah, 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 blah? I go directly to the founder. Yeah.
It is fair if everyone is going directly that way, but if some people have to pass through all that process and you want to pass through another process,
so now that's the case. But now we all have the privileges to go directly to the founder.
Yes, please go.
That's what I'm saying. I have we have the privileges to go directly to God and be like, hear me out. This is me.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Vincent.
No. Here we're trying to have a conversation.
Yes, I am responding to your conversation.
Okay, okay.
Listen. I cannot change the way you think. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing.
You know, that's not necessarily how I think. I'm just trying to ask questions.
Yes, and I cannot change the way that person who wrote that or who thought about that thinks unless the Spirit of God truly comes to them and explains to them like he did for me. And I would never ever compromise on my beliefs. Like I do believe in what I believe I know is true. And if they're still debating about that, I pray the Spirit of God will come and enlighten them of the truth and reality. Because human beings, you know, we think. And God gave us that possibility, and you have the choice.
Okay, read this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pass it to me.
Where to where?
The one that starts with quotations.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
It reads, God will say, "Oh, Jesus, Son of Mary, did you say to the people, 'Take me and my mother as, yes, besides Allah'? He will say, 'Exalted are you.' It was not for me to say that, to which I have no right. If I had said it, you would have known it. You know what is within myself, and I do not know what is within yourself. Indeed, it is you who is knower of the unseen." Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to me, it's more like, okay, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I came to this world, yeah, to deliver a message, yeah. Mm-hmm. From my father, it's okay. Mm-hmm. My father, God, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you guys should know. Yeah? Like, this is how you should live, yeah? This is how God wants you to live with others, to live with yourself, to live, to connect to heaven and himself as well, yeah? Of course, if you believe in me, you also believe in the person who sent me, yeah? Because you also understand the essence of the message I'm delivering to you. Yeah? So which I guess that's what he means. I think that he's saying, I didn't tell them that I'm really the God, yeah? But I told them, yeah? If they listen to what I say, then they know that you are the Most High and they should respect you. Yeah. So to me, it means if you pray to this person that I told you to believe in, then that's a ticket to heaven. If you pray, you follow his rules, you follow his word, you follow whatever, then that's a direct path.
Okay.
What do you mean? Okay. I'm trying to get, you know.
No, that was a statement you were making, so I cannot add anything about it except to say that I don't have all the answers to your questions, but I really want to study theology. Maybe I will get more skills. I do. Because people don't really understand, and my knowledge right now is not enough to answer all your questions. Though I know, even though I study theology, I might not come and give you the right answers you need. So God topic, I believe, but is conflicted to you. What you believe, I cannot change. What this says, I cannot change. I don't even know who wrote this. But I don't believe in this.
That's from Quran, by the way.
Yes, I don't believe in it because I don't believe in the Quran. I believe in the Bible. And it's not a sin that I don't believe in the Quran.
It's not. It's
and
not.
It's not bad that I believe in the Bible, and I don't judge the person who believes in the Quran if I believe in the Bible.
So you're a true believer that if you don't admit Jesus as your savior and whatever, you're not going to heaven.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes, very true. That's what I believe. Yes, and I am a firm believer. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I hope everyone will come to the knowledge of that sometime.
I mean, I hope. See, I'm a Christian, by the way. And I hope.
So what do you believe in as a Christian?
I believe in God.
Do you know what a Christian believes
in? No. Wait. Yeah, I believe in God.
Okay.
Anything else? I think I don't question his ability or anything. But I believe I am. Am I a Christian? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I know. But anyways, I think it's better. It would be very fair, very much fair, if the ticket to heaven was not going through someone God sent, but rather admitting to the message that person delivered, in line to what God really wants us to do. And then if you follow that, then you have your way to heaven. So I don't think there should be any third party in that, in that endeavor, in that journey to the mighty heaven that we all think deserve to go to. But otherwise, I think religious people or being in a religion, it gives you peace of mind that, you know, something that you're not alone, you know. And I think that's the best part about it, because you know that even if something is not going well, there is, like, always hopeful. You know, it's not working, but it will work. It's not working, but I know it will work, So I that's why I asked you, because I very much know it has something to do with our mental well-being and how we navigate through everything. Whether you believe, if you believe in God and maybe don't believe in anything else but God, I know at some point there is some peace of mind that brings to you. And if you don't believe in God and you can find something that, you know, gives you the peace of mind you need, I think you're well off,
Yeah, I think. But I feel this is me, that God is the only one.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Tell me about, I think when you came, we're also talking about the event you have, the intergenerational trauma. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so Humeka, the organization I work in, we're organizing a series of events on intergenerational trauma that came from the genocide against the Tutsi. Intergenerational trauma being the trauma that was inherited from the parents, from everyone who went through that season to the younger generation. And we're having a series of events for teenagers, young adults, people aged 30 to 40 who were that time around young, like 7, 6, and people were 40 to 50 and 50 and above. And the goal of this is to bridge the gap that is the communication gaps, the psychological gap, that people don't really understand the impact the genocide had on our psychological being, emotional, like how you choose, like how our personalities are shaped, how you choose your relationships, your attachment styles, how people who are now parenting are parenting according to the way they were parented, the right way to parent, the best way to cope. So that's what the series of events will be about.
How did the idea come about though?
So one day I was seated with a friend. You know, we're going through a lot, you know, when you're trying to figure out yourself, when you're seeing people trying to figure out themselves. But we saw, you know, this rising suicidal rate in young people, in not even just young people. Actually, so many people commit suicide, but we never talk about it. And there's also depression, anxiety hitting, excessive alcoholism. And we were like, what do we think the government has put on Tumwele's, for example? People are trying to escape the reality. People are dealing with so many things. To the fact I have a good paying job, and at the end of the day, I just drink all my money. I spend all my money, and I don't, you know, I don't develop. So we were trying to figure out all of that, you know, what's going on with the Rwandan society. We have all this development, but how are we going to be able to sustain it if we are living in bubbles, if we don't have good relationships, if families are divorcing, and a family is a thing which keeps a community going, you know, because if you raise your children the right way, if with the good resources and everything, yes, you can never be perfect, but if you try your best, this person is going to be a good person in society. And so that's how it came about, you know, analyzing all these things happening. And we came to the conclusion that it was stemming from the genocide against the Tutsi, seeing how people, you know, people who went right through, for example, like founding families to regain all the people they have lost, regain hope, a reason to live, you know, to have children and have reasons to live, but then go in without being healed, like wounds, a wound plus a wound, creating baby wounds. So it was, so we are all walking wounds, you know.
That's true.
So yeah, that's how the idea came about.
That's a good initiative. Thank you so much, Anais. We've had a very good conversation, and I hope even the next time we want to talk with you, we're going to get you. And I hope, I mean, I wish you all the best in everything you're doing.
Thank you.
And I hope you get to help the youth as much as you're passionate about it. And I wish you best wishes in your events and all the things you're doing with Humeka.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. And that's it for today's episode. Peace out, jobless.